Good morning, honorable members and officials.
Good morning, Chair.
Morning, Chair.
Morning, morning. I suggest that we start our meeting.
Recording in progress.
Can we then start our meeting by just bow our heads where we are? For a second. Thank you very much. The meeting is officially opened. I wish to welcome everybody in a meeting. I want to say especially wish to welcome the chairperson of DBE and the team. I wish to welcome the ministers, DMs, if they are present. I also wish to welcome the officials of the departments, both DBE and SOC.
Hello. Thank you.
Hello.
To five people in that area have.
Hello.
They come as pilots.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. I'm going to speak in from the Free State.
What you're raising today. Hopefully, you'll still be in the meeting at that time. So, finally.
Hello. Chair? Hello?
Hello, I think there's a problem with Chair's network or something.
Yeah, it must be.
Power has just gone off. Maybe she's load shedded in her area.
Sorry, ma'am. I think there's a network glitch. I'm going to call her just to check what's going on. Thank you, members. Good morning, honorable members, MEC, Minister and Deputy Minister. I just spoke to the chairperson. She's experiencing some technical glitch and she advised me that I must request the chairperson of the PC on basic education to continue with the proceedings of today. Thank you very much.
Hi, morning, sis. Oh, and I spoke with the chair this morning. Okay. No, it's fine. Can we Can I ask you to do for us the roll call then? Morning, everybody that is in the meeting.
Morning, I'm also back, Chair. Thank you very much.
It's fine that you can proceed with the meeting, Mamana. All right.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry for what has happened. I don't know what has happened to you. Thank you very much, Co-Chair. We will do the same even if this thing happens again. I'm sorry. I can hear that the chair was about to request the roll call. Can we then introduce ourselves from the side of the honorable members? The ones that are present. Can we start with the DSD, honorable members? Please flight your video when you introduce yourself.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning,
Bridget.
My name is Bridget Masango. I am the member of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bridget. The next honorable member.
Morning, Chair.
Morning.
I'm Letitia Aris, a member of this Portfolio Committee, Social Development. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable member. The next one. Yes.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
And everyone else in this platform. How are you this morning?
I'm not okay much. I'm frustrated by the electricity.
Don't worry, you
try my level best. Yes.
Don't worry, you'll be fine. My name is Kensani Bilankulu. I'm the member of the Portfolio Committee for Social Development. I thank you.
Thank you, honorable member. The next one.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody on the platform. Alexandra Abrams, member of the Social Development Committee.
Thank you, Alex. The next one.
Chairperson, I've got a problem with my video.
Okay.
My name is Anastasia Mutau, member of the Social Development Committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable member. The next
Thank you.
One.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I am Tembile Mhlongo, the member of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. It's Honorable Gisela Opperman. I'm a member of this Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Honorable Gisela. The last one? Or the two last ones? Okay, seemingly they haven't joined in. Not yet. Okay, let's go to DBE, honorable members. Let's start by the chairperson.
Excuse me as well for my video. I am Bongiwe Mpingu Tigaba. I'm the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. Thank you.
Welcome, chairperson.
Chair.
Yes.
A humble apology. Just member Punita Marie will join us later. She's just in the flight.
Okay.
Good morning, Chair.
Morning.
My name is Suella Elvis, member of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.
Long time, neighbor.
Yeah.
Good to see you. Thank you very much. The next
Pleasure.
One.
Good morning, Chair.
Yeah.
My name is Nombise Lotledisa Jones. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Weep. Well done yesterday. The next one, honorable member. Is that all?
Bakoli Lenotata, Chair, member of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Is there any other one?
Chairperson.
All right. Over to you. Can I get the indication that is that all members have already introduced themselves?
No, Chair, through you. I think Honorable Mokwasetla was trying to introduce himself from basic education.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you hear me, Chair? Can you hear me,
yes.
Chair?
Yes, we hear
yes,
you.
My name is Ronnie. The surname is Murasetla, and good morning to you and everyone. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.
Thank you very much, Ronnie. I think you were the last one. Eh? Okay. If it's the case, we are not going to waste time by saying the officials must introduce themselves. The only thing that we can say is to request from them, the leaders of the teams, to just say hi to the meeting and say those that they want us to acknowledge. Can I give over to the DG, acting DG of DSD?
That is the Deputy Minister of Basic Education.
How can I? Over to you, DM. I'm sorry for that.
Greetings to you, Chair, and I introduce myself. My name is Regina Mhaule, Deputy Minister for Basic Education. As we all know that now Cabinet is sitting, both ministers are in Cabinet. They thought that maybe in the meantime, if there's a chance, they may join, but I said to them, I'm here representing both departments. As the Deputy Minister of Social Development was not well, but I didn't get the current and recent report. But okay. He has not been well, for some time.
For quite some time, yes.
So want to appreciate this meeting. Both DGs are in the meeting. DG Social Development and DG Basic Education. But our DG Basic Education was still on the lobby. He had not yet been accepted into the meeting. I don't know now. The last time I checked, he was on. Oh, now he's inside. Yes.
Yes, DM. I'm in. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, DG. So, Chair, as you know that this is a process that emanated from the pronouncement by His Excellency, the President of the Republic of South Africa, that early childhood development must migrate to basic education. So these two departments have been working together, and originally the date for the starting of the migration itself was supposed to be April 2021, which the processes were overtaken by processes who could not finalize everything. Then we requested to Cabinet and to both portfolio committees, we explained our situation, and then we promised that come 1st April 2022, all the processes that were started shall have come to fruition. Then the process will start. It's not a boom that day. Now, as if you are carrying a bag of cement, then you put it to the other side. It's a process because it's something that needs not only the two departments, other departments, your COCTA, your health, home affairs, we work with many other departments. So it's a process which on the 1st of April, we anticipate, but we are sure now that the process will be seen as having started. So yes, there are so many things, expectations from people that now because they are coming to education, it means now all the people are going to be teachers, they're going to be on personal, they're going to... Chair, it's not a change of how things happen. By the way social development was doing it, we'll take it from there. Then the improvements, the strategies will come along the way. But we're not changing. The partners that are in the sector are going to be still in the sector doing things. But what we are pushing now is the administration of early childhood development now to migrate to basic education. And it doesn't mean that from the 1st of April, then social development is out. They cannot be out because we'll always be working together on the issues of children. So, Chair, with your permission, as we had already invited the two teachers to come in, just maybe both of them can just greet, then one will lead us on the presentation. Thank you so much, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, DM. I think you have paved our way going forward, and you have already done the political overview in terms of what is it exactly that is expected in this meeting. Thank you very much, DM. Can we then flight the agenda, Lindy? There it is. We are done with the introduction. And then, apologies. Some have been mentioned. Can we get the chance for the DSD to put forward the apology? The minister and the DM have been already apologized for. Lindy?
Thank you, Mr.
Lindy?
Sorry, Chair. My video is not working. I don't know why. Can you please apologize for that. I have a number of apologies received. I don't know whether you want me to specifically state the ones for the department, including the ones for members and the provincial embassies.
Yeah.
If you allow me,
all the apologies.
Okay, Chair. Yeah. If you allow me, the internal apologies, one from member stock, who has a doctor's appointment and will join the meeting after 9:30. And then one is also from member Fanameve, who is also attending public hearings of the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs with the Electoral Act. And then I've received an apology from the minister, who will join the meeting a bit late. She is attending the cabinet meeting. Also, Chair, the ADG is out of the country. He won't be with us, with Mr. Mkunu, and then he's nominated Ms. Asibeko to be the acting ADG of today's meeting. Also, Chair, the Minister Angie Mutesa is not with us today. She will be attending the cabinet meeting. There's also a number of MECs who tendered apologies. One is from the Northern Cape, Mrs. Vilekazi. They have a house sitting scheduled for today to introduce the Northern Cape Provincial Appropriation Bill. So she will be attending that sitting. Also, MEC Rahwala will be engaged with the public protector today, so she won't be with us. Also, the Western Cape MEC, Ms. Shafa, she won't be able to attend due to prior commitments. There are two MECs, MEC Lucity from the Eastern Cape, and also MEC Gade from the also the Eastern Cape from the Basic Education. They will be attending the Social Transformation Cabinet meeting session today. Also, Chair, Mr. Walters, the HOD on Basic Education in the Western Cape,
he won't be with us today, but he nominated someone to stand for him. So those are the apologies received from the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. I don't know from the basic education if they have any apologies. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Lindy. It's a lot of apologies, but it doesn't matter. We'll continue with the meeting. Can we request a DBE if there are any apologies that they would like to forward? DB?
Chair, if I may come again, the only apology that we have is the apology of the minister, who said, both ministers said, when there are no issues that are pressing enough, they will come to this meeting. That's why their apology is that they may come to the meeting, but depending upon the issues at cabinet. So from the side of DBE, the team that is supposed to be in the meeting is present today. We accept the apologies from the MECs for education, but I've seen MEC Mshengu in the meeting. So it looks like it's the only MEC I've seen.
I'm also here, DM. MEC Matimela.
MEC Matimela, yes. Thank you, Ma. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yeah, that you are in the meeting. So the other apologies are the ones that were read now from our MECs. Thank you.
MEC Khoza. MEC Khoza from KZN.
Okay. Welcome. MECs that are present. We are grateful that you have managed. We know that there's lots of things that are in front of you and you have to attend to them. Thanks very much. Let's move.
MEC
Social Development in the Free State is also in the meeting.
Free State?
Mamiki Kavach.
Okay, welcome, MEC.
Hey, good morning. I also, as member for Mita Maria, I've also logged in. I just want to apologize for attending late, but I'm here now. Thank you.
You are?
Paulita Marie, member.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Welcome.
Sorry, sir.
Yes.
Matanzi, yeah, Mamueli.
Put my hand up as well.
Hello?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm in attendance, but I'm in Itujwa. So there might be connectivity challenges, but I am in the meeting as our deputy minister indicated. I'm from the Department of Basic Education. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. And you are?
Matanzi Mamueli.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, I know you might experience glitches on the network, but we are happy that you have joined. Thank you very much. I think everyone in the meeting now has introduced himself or herself. Let's pass the apologies.
Honorable Chairperson, I've got my hand up, Chairperson.
Mm-hmm.
It's Honorable Desiree van der Walt. I've got my hand up.
Desiree?
Yeah, may I say something, please? Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I know these are difficult times, and I know that Wednesdays due to cabinet is especially difficult to always get both ministers present. But I think with such a very important migration from a big department to another big department, and with so many urgent issues that we wanted to discuss, I would really in future try that we do not have a joint meeting on ECD between the two departments of Parliament and the provinces on a day that both ministers can't be present. If I may please put that request as a matter of urgency. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Noted, because this meeting was pre-planned, but we hear your concern about that. But if the DM is here and also the HODs and the DGs are here, I don't think we can't continue with this meeting. That's my proposal also to you. Can we then get, I see the hand of Mrs. Makanda Nosbele from Salga. I think she hasn't been acknowledged that she is in the meeting. Can I give it over to you?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson. I am Nosibele Makanda, the portfolio head for Health, Community Services and Inclusivity at Salga. I wish to also tender the apology of our President, Honorable Becky Stofile, who could... I have some colleagues from the provinces that have also joined. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Salga. We really appreciate your presence in this meeting. Seemingly, people have introduced themselves. I've noticed that we haven't managed to acknowledge some of other people, but we really apologize for that. It doesn't mean that we underestimated their presence. Everyone in the meeting is welcome. Can we then proceed? Because I can see that there will be a electricity load shedding in some of other areas like mine. Then Honorable Bingo Bongi is present. She's going to take over if there is any glitch that I'm experiencing. Then out of the agenda, can we adopt this agenda as it has been proposed? Because it's update on the ECD's function shift by the department, as the DM has alluded on that issue. And then we will give over to the provinces, because there are MECs that are here, if there is anything left out. And then we can discuss that, and the input from the DPE is critical, because definitely they will have to share new things with us. Then we'll discuss and close the meeting. Can we adopt the meeting? I mean, the agenda is proposed.
Chairperson, this is Bridget Masango. I would like to propose the adoption of the agenda for the meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masango. Any second?
Second. Alexandra Abrams.
Okay, thanks, Alex. Honorable Alexandra is seconding the agenda. Can we then proceed? Let's give over to the DSD. I've heard that it's Ms. Sibeko is the one who has been said she's going to act. Can we give over to her?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. First, let me begin by extending my greetings to yourself, Chairperson, and to all the honorable members in the meeting. And also to acknowledge the ministers and the DM in absentia, to just thank all of the leadership that has worked with us on the road up to now, where we are almost ready to complete the function shift work. I think that the leadership has really helped us to deal with a lot of challenges. And I wish to say that from our side, we think from the official side that we have done quite a lot of work and we should be ready. We have confidence that we will be ready by the 1st of April to complete the work and hand over the function. Of course, we will continue to on DSD side, look after the children of this country and care for them and do all of the other work that we still need to do in looking after children in the country. In terms of the presentations themselves, since this has been a joint project between ourselves and the colleagues from the Department of Basic Education, we will also be presenting jointly in this presentation today to give the update of how far we are. And I also want to acknowledge them, our colleagues from DBE, for all of the work and the collegiality we've worked together all up until now. But from our side, the presentation will be led by Ms. Isabella Skawana, and the GBE colleagues will then indicate who from their side will be co-presenting.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chair, thank
you very much for the presentation, DSD. It was brief and short. Can we then give over to the provinces? I think that's the next item on the agenda.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes?
I think the acting DG was just giving an overview. There is no presentation as yet. They need to make the presentation first. It was just an overview from here.
Okay.
They need to present.
There's a joint presentation by the two departments. It's presented by one department. It's a joint presentation prepared for this meeting, and not only for this meeting, for all other meetings, we work together. The two ministers are working together on issues of this migration very, very well. And the two HODs, the two DGs are also working very close, very well. That's why the presentation is one presentation. Chair, let me just abuse this time, Jim. And MEC from Mpumalanga sent me the apology that he is seeing a doctor now. So I will not make it to this meeting. So my apologies also for that. Let's allow the presentation, the actual presentation.
The presentation, it will be a joint presentation.
Yes, the joint presentation. It will be done by social development.
Okay. Can we allow that to happen?
Yes, Chairperson. Isabella Skavana will give the presentation. I don't know if you did.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to acknowledge the Chairperson, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister from the Department of Basic Education, and the two ministers in absentia, HODs, MECs that are here, and HODs, and colleagues from both departments. Chairperson, maybe to clarify that the presentation is going to be made by me from the Department of Social Development, but also we'll be sharing the presentation together with Yanni Likota from Department of Basic Education. Next slide, please. This is just an outline, Chairperson, of the presentation. And maybe before I start, Chairperson, I must indicate that this is a presentation that gives a national picture of what is happening with ECD migration. By that, I mean that the presentation covers a progress that has been made at the national level, but also at the provincial level, because we've been working together as both departments and working, you know, at all levels. We've got our own coordinating structures where we've been able, you know, to meet and share progress. And the provinces have been submitting reports. And this report is a representative of the work that has been done at both a national and at provincial level. I thought I must indicate that upfront. So this is just an outline of the presentation. Next slide, please. Chairperson, we are here to present an update on the early childhood development function shift. We were here last time, and now we thought that because we are nearing the end, it's very important as the two departments to come back to the joint portfolio committees, you know, to update them on where we are in terms of this process. Next slide, please. Chairperson, when we were here in our previous session, members raised seven critical issues when we made a presentation, and we thought, you know, we should try to address those issues that were raised. And when you look at this slide, the slide number 3 and 4, it basically reflects on the issues that have been raised and begin to give responses in that regard. Now, when you look at the first issue that has been raised, I think this issue was raised by members with an understanding of the critical role played by social workers in addressing social ills
and the impact of COVID-19, you know, to our people, the people of South Africa. And no doubt, this function shift has affected us in terms of resources, because our social workers are a key resource in terms of service delivery. And you will note that they are not only dealing with ECD, but they are dealing with quite multiple issues, you know, that affect the country. However, Chairperson, having said that, we feel that it is necessary, as it has, this process is necessary as it has gains on the future of our children. And therefore, it was important for us, you know, to release social workers to go to DBE and ensure that, you know, the future of our children is secured. When coming to the second issue of the qualification, Chairperson, of course, we appreciate the fact that the ECD practitioners are not at the same level. And therefore, we are saying as the two departments, when we talk about quality ECD, qualifications becomes very critical. However, DBE will be able, you know, to take all the practitioners on the journey, you know, of upskilling. And at the same time, being able, you know, to communicate, you know, in terms of what is it that is expectation, and come up with a long-term plan in terms of how best are they going to support, you know, these ECD practitioners to reach the level that is expected. Now, when coming, Chairperson, to the third issue that has been raised by members, which is about the issues of salary, which Honorable Deputy Minister touched on, the expectation, you know, that has the expectation in terms of the salary, Chairperson, the ECDs will remain independent, and therefore, as government, we don't interfere in terms of the salaries of ECDs, because we'll be getting into the space that we are not supposed to be getting into. However, it is important that we really continue to communicate, you know, around this area, so that, you know, we create, you know, that level of understanding among the ECD sector. The fourth issue that has been raised, Chairperson, is about the issue of males not becoming practitioners. Of course, Chairperson, this is a female-dominated sector. And maybe because women are by nature, you know, are nurturing by nature, and they are, you know, home. However, we acknowledge the fact that there are also men who are passionate, who love children, and therefore it is very much important that we begin to come up with ways on how best can we really, you know, attract males, male in this sector. Chairperson, the other issue that has been raised, which I will couple it with the sixth issue, the issue of funding and increasing access. Chairperson, we acknowledge the fact that, you know, the ECD sector is underfunded, and simply because, you know, social development for a very long time has been perceived, you know, has been seen as a department of grants. And, you know, attention has not been given in terms of, you know, capacitating or resourcing this the social development. In short, Chairperson, the social development sector is under-resourced. And we are seeing this this as an opportunity, you know, for the sector to be well looked at, Chairperson. The opportunity for them for
Honorable members. Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
I can see that we are struggling to get the link. DPE hasn't managed to get the new link. Hey, we have been hacked. It's my first time in a meeting being hacked. Phew.
stuff is going on, Chair, you know what? I cannot log into my parliament mail now. They say that my password exchange account to parliament, so there's a new password. But I will sort it out with IT. But I've logged on my Gmail. Okay, sure.
Okay. Is Sibeko in?
Yes, that person is still here. Yes, I'm sharing the link with Isabella Skawan.
Over.
We're sitting together.
Okay. We come in about. Okay. Can we continue now?
Yes.
Okay. Honorable members, at least we are about 45 present. I think we can continue. It is unfortunate that this thing of hacking, it's my first time to experience it. I'm still worried and I don't know what has happened. Can we request the presenter by the name of Sibeko, who is acting, to proceed with the presentation?
Thank you, Chairperson. In the interest of saving time, I hope you'll allow us to just continue from where we left off.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Chairperson. Isabella will continue then.
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. Yes, I was trying to wrap up the issues that were raised by members in the previous meeting. I was on issue number 7, number 5 and 6, actually, which talked about increasing funding. And Chairperson, I was basically saying that, and I'm also talking about increase of in access to early childhood development. I was saying that we acknowledge the fact that the sector is underfunded, and simply because generally social development services are underfunded. The majority of our budget goes to social security, and at the expense of other programs such as the welfare services under which the ECD falls within, and also the community development is also underfunded. Now, Chairperson, we see this shift as an opportunity to relook and review the funding models, but also we see it as also having a potential of attracting donors. As there are some initiatives, you know, that has already been started in terms of ensuring that the ECD census that will be helpful in building the business case for lobbying of funding, even outside government. As we know that government is also constrained, you know, in terms of resources. However, we are also saying that this is an opportunity for us to ensure that we come up with a coordinated donor funding strategy where we'll be able to coordinate all the resources so that all the limited resources can be maximally utilized. Now, Chairperson, when coming to
Chairperson, I no longer see the presentation. I'm not sure whether it's from my side only.
It's even from our side. We can't see it now.
Okay. Yanele, can I request that we assist this with the presentation?
Yes, Chairperson. I've been disabled from sharing my screen. May I ask that the host just enable screen sharing for me again, please?
Okay.
Is it Janelle?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll make a co-host. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, Chairperson, as they are trying to...
You're a co-host.
Yes, we are able to see.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. The last issue that was raised by the honorable members is about the streamlining of registration, which we believe that currently second Children's Amendment Bill will assist in terms of ensuring that this issue is being resolved. However, currently there are interim measures that have been taken to ensure that, you know, the registration process become a bit simple, which are your registration framework that we have developed as Department of Social Development, which begins to categorize ECDs according to three levels, which is your bronze, your silver, and your gold. And the bronze is the bare minimum that will allow ECDs, you know, to gain registration. And also we have initiated engagements with the Department of Health and municipalities to ensure that, you know, some of the issues that are within the legislation that are a problem in terms of registration are being resolved in ensuring that these ECDs gain a registration access. Next slide, please. Chairperson, we thought that it is important to indicate, you know, the importance of quality ECDs, which we think is very critical because it lays a solid foundation for school readiness. But most importantly, Chairperson, this is critical for breaking the cycle of poverty. What is also critical is that every child deserves a good start in life, and it does not matter irrespective of their socioeconomic background. They all deserve a good start in life, and ECD is one of the critical starts, you know, that these children deserve. Next slide, please. This slide basically reminds us, Chairperson, where do we really get this mandate of the function sheet? And there are a number of policies, a number of processes that have been undertaken, you know, that basically speaks about moving, shifting their policy and program responsibilities from the Department of Social Development to the Department of Basic Education. And most importantly, Chairperson, is our constitution that is right-based and is very clear and very emphasizes a right to education for every child. And it is very much important, Chairperson, that as the S government, we really need to ensure that we execute the mandates that we have been given, you know, especially by the ruling party in terms of, you know, as giving us a direction of ensuring that we shift the responsibility of ECD from Department of Basic Education, from Social Development to the Basic Education. So this is something that has long been, infused within the current policies and strategies that we are having as government. Next slide, please.
Recording in progress.
Chairperson, in this slide, we're basically saying, what is it? What are the expectations, you know, after the function shift? And this slide focuses on, indicates that for us to be able, you know, to reach the optimal education for children, we need to ensure that we have an integrated aligned service delivery model that will ensure that, you know, there is quality access to learning and development opportunities for all children. And when you look at this slide, focus is on the integration and collaboration. It's on strengthening, ensuring that there's increase in access, but also in reviewing the current funding models, because when you look at the way ECDs are being funded, you know,
it's not promoting the quality ECG services. But what is important, Chairperson, is to look at improving resource provision for the ECG sector. Next slide, please. This slide, Chairperson, it talks about what are the benefits of, transferring this function to basic education, which basically says that, in terms of the basic education, they've got the education management system, information system, and also their experience in terms of the programs that they are rendering, such as your national school nutrition program and integrated school health program, can assist us in terms of ensuring that, we improve on some of areas that have been identified as gaps within the current system, which is your nutrition and which is also the information management system. If we have the solid information management system, we'll be able, to plan our programs effectively, but also we'll be able to utilize the information, to lobby for resources, because we'll be knowing, what is the extent of the problem that we are talking about. And the issues of sensors that has been currently initiated also will assist in terms of understanding how huge the problem is, how best can we really try and improve and provision the resources for us to improve on the current quality that we are talking about. But what is critical, Chairperson, is the issue of strengthening practitioners' implementation of learning through play. Next slide, please. Chairperson, slide number 10 talks to the service delivery model. And I must say that the DBE will build on the initiative that has been started by the Department of Social Development in this area, where we have identified five key strategies in this regard. And the first one is about curriculum-based learning and early childhood development, the two of them, and the issue of training for us and continuous development of all the workforce within the ECD sector is very critical. But what is utmost important here is the coordination and integration of the ECD services, because even though DBE is taking responsibility of provision and monitoring of ECDs in the whole country, the other governments will continue to play the supportive role. And therefore, the issue of coordination and the integration become center, for us to provide quality ECD services and to ensure that every child in this country access ECD services. So these are the key strategies in terms of the current service delivery model that has been started by the Department of Social Development. Now, when coming to this slide, Chairperson, it's about the approach that we are taking in order to increase access to service delivery. And I must say, Chairperson, this is part of the current strategy that we have developed as the Department of Social Development in terms of upscaling and funding of ECD services strategy. And in that strategy, we are basically saying that it does not help for us to focus only on center-based programs, because this is not reaching out to all the children. And therefore, in the strategy, we have included the non-center-based programs, which basically are your play groups, home-based programs, but are complemented by ECG mobile programs and the toy libraries, where there are no resources at all. We need to ensure that we reach out to all children in the country. And in the strategy that I have spoken about, Chairperson, that is currently available, we have been able to cost all these services that we're talking about. We've been able to indicate, the population of children that need to benefit from ECD, and we have been able to say what is the gap. And in terms of the gap that we have been identified, we've been able to ensure that we cost. But also what is important, Chairperson, the strategy also includes children with special needs, which are our children with disabilities. Next slide, please. And that's my Chairperson. What we are basically saying that what we are championing as the two departments currently, it is divided into two. We've got the first process, which basically focuses on the function shift itself. The second one is on the function improvement. Now, in terms of the function shift, what we are saying is that we are focusing on the technical part of the shifting of the function, which basically says we are shifting the function as is without, you know, meddling with the function. The second one is about function improvement, which we are basically saying that it is a long-term process, which might take us 5 to 10 years. However, we need to ensure that we do it in an integrated manner. We come up with an integrated plan, as I've already said initially, that it is not about DBE only, but it has got, you know, it has got implication on other government departments. And therefore, we need to come up with an integrated plan that has got clear milestones and clear roles and responsibility, and it is well costed so that we can be able, you know, to execute it and have an indication of the resources that are needed. And when we make, when we do, we lobby for resources, we are quite clear in terms of what is needed. The function improvement chairperson is about, yes, I've just explained it, the function improvement. Next slide, please. Next slide, chairperson. Okay. In this slide, we're basically saying that when we initially started, we were very clear in terms of when this function would be shifted, which is the 1st of April 2022. Now, for us to be there, there are milestones that we need to achieve. And the first one is for us to understand what this function entails. When we talk about ECD, what does it entail? And that will assist us in terms of ensuring that, you know, we allocate responsibilities, but we understand, you know, for us to be able, you know, to reach access, quality access to all the children, you know, who are the role players that are needed. And we've been able to come up with a diagnostic report that informed the establishment of the work streams, the 7 work streams that we have come up, which will be chairperson reflected in the next slide. And that assisted us also to come up, you know, with other governance measures to say that if we are to achieve, you know, whatever we have planned, what are the governance structures that need to be put in place? Firstly, at coordination level and at implementation level. Hence, I said when I started chairperson that this report is inclusive of what provinces have said, because the governance structures that I've spoken about have been decentralized also at provincial level. And as the coordinating program management office of the two departments have been able to, is able to meet with the provinces on a bi-weekly basis, just to ensure that, you know, we provide strategic leadership, but we also learn from each other as different different provinces. What are the best practices? What are the issues that need to be attended? And we assist each other in terms of dealing with that. The second one, which is the proclamations, we've been able, you know, to finalize all the proclamations, both at national and provincial level, you know, within the given period of time. And we've been able to conclude, you know, the reinforcing of staff, which has been a very tedious process, chairperson, as the social workers are not only dealing with ECD, but however, we are glad to say that we've been able, you know, to meet the deadline as according to the milestone. The issue of budget cycle also process, we've been able to conclude that. Now, all these processes, milestones that I've spoken about, have been able to assist us to come up with the PMOG and NMOG submissions that were written and given to National Treasury, where we consolidate all the resources that needs to be transferred to DBE. So we are saying that come the 1st of April, the function will be shifted to DBE. But chairperson, what is very much important, because this is about change, and change needs to be clearly communicated. It was very much important that we engage our stakeholders on a continuously basis, which we've been able to do so. All the provinces, except 2 provinces that are, have now planned, you know, their summit, have been able to conduct summits, you know, at the provincial level, and they have gone also at district level to ensure that they reach out, you know, to all relevant people in the sector with regards to this function shift. And they have gone an extra mile, chairperson, to ensure that, you know, they utilize their local media platforms, you know, to talk about this ECD so that they can engage, you know, everybody in the communities about this, so that everybody understands what is this all about, and to also clear the misconceptions that come together with the function shift. And all what we are saying, chairperson, that the current transitional arrangements, you know, that exist will still continue in the post post function shift because we need to ensure that, you know, there is stability because we are dealing with our children. We're also looking at the best interest of a child, and therefore we'll continue, you know, to ensure that these governance structures that we are talking about, they exist and they meet and they try to provide, you know, an oversight in terms of the transitional methods. Next slide, please. Chairperson, these are the governance structures that I have spoken about. And these governance structures, as I said, they are both at national and at provincial level. And I must say that the MECs in provinces and the ministers have been, you know, championing the process, and they've been at the forefront in terms of, you know, the engagements with the community. The summit that we have spoken about, we have seen, you know, the MECs being at the forefront, you know, in terms of ensuring that, you know, they are the ones who are the face of this function shift, and we really appreciate, you know, their contribution, including, you know, the HODs in the provinces. And these are the structures that I have spoken about that managed to ensure that, you know, this process is being driven as smoothly until where we are. And the emphasis is still on the fact that the structures will continue so that, you know, the transitional period is being successful. Next slide, please. Chairperson, let me start with the progress at national level, and then I'll get into the progress at provincial level. You know, in this slide, we are indicating that, yes, we've been able, you know, to ensure that the proclamations are signed, but also we've been able, you know, to finalize the submissions, as I have already said. And what is important in this structure, Chairperson, is about the consultation with the affected staff and organized labor, which commenced in terms of the Public Service Act, Public Service Regulations, Labor Relations Act, and all the laws, you know, that governs, you know, the issues of public service. And Chairperson, I must say, as I said, you know, we have done a lot to ensure you, that even our staff are put at rest, because we know that change is not easy. And I must really, as I said earlier, you know, thank the MECs and the HODs for steering the process and ensuring that, you know, this process becomes very smooth. As we all acknowledge and appreciate the fact that it is not an easy process. Next slide, please. What is important, Chairperson, as the CAP memo that we have drafted here, that we are taking it to Cabinet to appraise them about where we are in terms of the update on the function shift. We'll be presenting to the Cabinet in Cabinet in March. This has been taken through all the clusters, so we'll be going to Cabinet during this month, you know, to appraise them on the status. Next slide, please. In terms of financial implications, Chairperson, we are transferring a budget of 3.3 billion to DBE, and the majority of the budget, Chairperson, goes to NPO funding, which is 2.3 billion, and it is followed by compensation of employees at 238.9 billion, and we have the goods and services, and the last on capital assets. And this has been tabled before the Technical Committee of Finance as well as the Budget Council for the transfer of funds for the 2022 financial year, which means, Chairperson, it's a done deal, no more turning back. And it was subsequently tabled in the medium-term budget policy statement in November 2021. Next slide, please. Chairperson, a progress at provincial level. Yes, I've mentioned earlier, they have successfully reinforced the post. They concluded the process. They are continuing with the consultations with the labor, and they are going very well. There's a support from the labor in this regard. And the list of staff has already been transferred to DBE. And currently, we are in the process of confirming office accommodation for the affected staff. The process is running very smooth, except we're having only, you know, small challenges, although it's not challenges per se, because the two departments have agreed, you know, on alternative measures in case, you know, DBE has got
still have challenges with regards to accommodation, and that is in Gauteng, Western Cape, and I know of also of Northwest. But there are measures that have been put in place. In case the accommodation is still a problem, they will still occupy offices in social development until such time, you know, the matter is being resolved. Next slide, please. Next slide. Okay, it's this slide. Okay. Chairperson, here we are saying that ICD programs have joined interprovincial meetings every second month. We are continuing with our governance structures. We are meeting on every second month, and as provinces, I'm talking about provinces, and this entails identifying all roles and responsibilities of each province. We have been able to do that are being transferred, and also include the issue of registration, ongoing support and funding of ICDs, because this is very critical and it's a make or break. And therefore, it is very much important that the two departments work together to ensure that there is smooth transition. The issue of registration is not hampered. The issue of funding is not hampered. And therefore, we've got ECD subsidy guidelines that we have developed as Department of Social Development, that we've been able to workshop DBE in that regard, in terms of how do we go about, you know, subsidizing ECDs and so on. And in particular, reference the issue of infrastructure. We've been having workshops with Department of Basic Education in terms of relevant issues that are very critical, that include your infrastructure, your Wangasala registration, and most importantly, the most important policy that, you know, guys, a provision of ECD in the country that was approved by Cabinet in 2015, the national ECD policy, and the issue of the conditional grant. We have also been able to identify the projects that we have initiated as the Department of Social Development. I've just mentioned some few, you know, in my presentation, the issue of a quality assurance system that we have started, you know, as a department, to ensure that, you know, when we talk about quality, we need to define what that quality is and come up with system in terms of how do we monitor that quality. We have started with a process, and Department of Basic Education will continue in terms of finalizing that project. The issue of service delivery model that I've spoken about, Chairperson, just to mention a few. And we have been working together as the two departments on the issue of business processes to ensure that, you know, come the 1st of April, the SLAs are being concluded and are being transferred to DBE. And there's also a smooth transition in terms of ensuring that ECDs are being funded. Next slide, please. I've spoken about communication and stakeholder engagement, and provinces have done a lot in this regard. Currently, you know, they have strengthened, you know, communication. I've spoken about utilizing the local platforms, Chairperson. I've spoken about the provincial summit, but also there are roadshows, Chairperson, that provinces have undertaken, you know, under the leadership of MECs, and the issue of communication as advocacy campaigns. Chairperson, as I'm talking, we receive, you know, communication in terms of how far we are with the issue of e-function shifts, you know. And there's a toolkit that has been developed by the communication work stream to ensure that, you know, we standardize the messaging, but also to the frequently asked questions, so that, you know, when we respond, we don't contradict each other, but we respond in a uniform and standardized manner. Next slide, please. Okay, thank you, Chairperson. That's how far I have to go. I will hand over to Yanil. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. So I'll be speaking about the function improvement and where we're going from here, and perhaps just the bigger picture of what will happen after 1 April. We've spent most of the financial year up to now, the 2021-22 financial year, on the administrative part of the function shift, and more recently on this institutional knowledge transfer, to make sure that at a national and provincial level, basic education understands the business processes that will need to happen once the function is transferred.
The focus for the next financial year, 2022-2023, will be on implementing the function as is to make sure that at a minimum, service delivery is not interrupted and we continue smoothly, and that on the sector, at the ground level, that ECD programs and the sector doesn't feel that there was the shift in responsibility. So the intention is to implement the function as is, where there needs to be made minor amendments to business processes so that it fits in the basic education system. We'll be doing it, and we'll be looking out for low-hanging fruits and where we can bring some changes to the sector and service delivery already. But what we've started in this 2021-2022 financial year and will be continuing in the next financial year is start making the preparations for function improvement. And we'll be speaking about some of those projects a bit later. This will be our preparation year to say, how do we put the building blocks in place to have systems that we can start rolling out. And then from 2023 onwards, we'll systematically start rolling out function improvements. And then the whole intention of this approach is to make sure that there's a gradual transfer of the function, but that there's also gradual improvement so that the sector is not destabilized in any way. And that's one of our big focus areas, is to make sure that the sector isn't left with anxieties because of unknowns in any way. And as Ms. Antekawana has also been saying, is that there will be these transitional arrangements of the governance structures continuing even after the function shifts to make sure that there's a smooth handover. So these transitional arrangements will entail that the two departments will work continuously together post 1st of April. We will continue with our monthly engagements or meetings between the two departments, if needed, between the ministers, the MECs, but also then with the DGs and the HODs. These government structures have been overseeing the functionship process, and the intention is that they'll continue to make sure there's a smooth transition. We know that some provinces have entered into MOUs to make sure that if there's any outstanding administrative processes that still need to be finalized, that will be happening. Similarly, if there's other arrangements that needs to be made around the sharing of office space, those MOUs have been signed and have been entered into. At a national level, we'll also enter into an MOU to ensure that we can use the Vangasali registration, the electronic system, while the DB is still developing a new system for ECD registrations. And handover reports are also being developed from a national provincial DSD and will be submitted on 15 March to basic education. So our focus for the first 100 days will be first and foremost to ensure that there's a smooth transfer of staff and no interruption of service delivery. And then some of the small improvements that we want to make over this next year is to start entering into strategic partnerships to ensure that there's continued support for functions like the ECD registration while we are developing the online ECD registration system, integrating the ECD census data into our education management information environment. There's collaboration with provinces on standardizing the ECD subsidy guidelines so that we can move towards the equity in the implementation of the ECD subsidy across provinces. We will also see how we can strengthen the intergovernmental nature of early child development through the Interministerial Committee, the Interdepartmental Committee, and the Intersectoral Forum. Regarding the policy and legislative environment, we will need to review the National Integrated ECD Policy this year to reflect the function shift. We're in the process of processing the Second Children's Amendment Bill, and I'll speak to that a bit more at the end. And along with the Second Amendment Bill, we'll also review the regulations, norms, and standards so that they're aligned with the Second Amendment Bill. And then in terms of human resource development, we'll be establishing an intersectoral task team for the development of a strategic human resource development plan. And this will lay the foundations of human resource development for early childhood development in the future. We'll also be supporting and monitoring provincial education departments to make sure that all registrations are taking place, that all service level agreements with ECD sites are in place, that the payments to ECD sites are rolling and happening as they should. Dependent on where the ECD stimulus package is at the date of transfer, we'll see how that can be supported. And we're busy conducting a resource analysis gap to understand what resource gaps are there post the function shift so that those can also be ameliorated. And then we'll, based on the Drive by Five index findings, we'll also develop a quality improvement plan to see how we can strengthen the quality of early childhood development going forward. So as we said, the project management teams at a national and provincial level will be kept in place as a transitional arrangement for the next 12 months, and there will be continuous monthly engagement between the two departments to make sure this function shift is running smoothly. And then we'll also develop a 100 days report to provide feedback on how all of these activities have been going. So what we want to see by the end of the 2022-2023 financial year is that we've been processing the Second Children's Amendment Bill, that we've started reviewing options of potentially holistic ECD legislation, that we've also reviewed options for a new funding model, that we've developed a costed upscaling strategy, and we've developed a quality assurance system based on the work that DfE has been doing that is ready for piloting. So in terms of some of the activities that we've done to focus on this function improvement, and as you're aware, we've conducted the ECD census, and the whole purpose of the census was to find and map out all ECD programs in South Africa so that we can develop this master list of ECD programs and have an education management information system for early childhood development. We concluded the data selection on the 18th of February, and we're in the final stages of just cleaning the data. A tentative number of ECD programs that we've identified is 41,000. This number will most likely come down a little bit as we clean the data and just get a final number. But this is already giving us a sense of the scope and size of the sector that DB is taking over. A second project that we ran was the 5x5 index, and this is South Africa's first early childhood index, and the whole purpose of this is to measure the proportion of children between 4 and 5 years old across all 9 provinces who are developmentally on track for their age in key areas of development. And the purpose of this is firstly to help us report on the Sustainable Development Goal 4.2.1, but then also to help us as a country to gauge on how are all these interventions that we are currently doing for early childhood development leading to child outcomes, and are the children of South Africa benefiting from what we are doing. We've also, along with the child outcomes measures, we've also conducted various contextual questionnaires so that we can understand the context in which ECD programs are functioning. For instance, infrastructure, governance, qualifications, resources, nutrition, and curriculum implementation. And this will help us to understand where are our children at, what are the challenges that ECD programs are facing, and will help hopefully enable us to develop very targeted responses to the challenges that's currently being experienced. So the baseline Thrive by 5 index was done in 2021, and the intention is to do this every 3 years up to 2030 so that we can track our progress and see how are we, through all these interventions and resources that we are providing to the sector, improving the outcomes of children. These outcomes are also broader than just basic education. We recognize that early childhood development is holistic, hence the fact that we need various government departments to work together on this. And this index is helping us to track that holistic development. So we've measured early child outcomes in terms of learning, where we focus on gross motor learning, fine motor learning, emergent numeracy, emergent literacy, and cognitive and executive functioning. But we've also looked at the socio-emotional well-being or functioning of children, as well as health outcomes in terms of height for age. And these three outcomes are critically important for child development, and again, shows the importance of the Department of Health, Basic Education and Social Development working very closely together in delivering those holistic services for children. In terms of the contextual questionnaires or measures, we interviewed principals, practitioners, we did a facility observation and a quality assessment, again, to help us understand the context and the challenges faced by ECD programs. So the DBE would like to use this information to inform the way we do ECD practitioner training, how we strengthen our curriculum materials. We want to use this to advocate for additional funding, both from National Treasury and through public-private partnerships, by being able to show that how we are currently spending our resources and how that is leading to better child outcomes. We're also hoping to use this to enhance our monitoring systems and to think through bridging programs for Grade R. But we think this, or we hope that this information can be used to strengthen intergovernmental collaboration as well. For the Department of Health, it can assist in the monitoring and prevention of stunting, for Department of Social Development in the design and administration of psychosupport interventions, parent education programs and social relief programs, for National Treasury in terms of budgeting, for DPME in terms of the assessment of programs, but then also to get the broader sector on board to say that this is a full country response that we have to have in supporting our children. And we're hoping that this information can help galvanize and inform and strengthen the collaborative efforts with funders, business, academia, and NGOs. Another project we're doing is the development of data systems for ECD. This is a collaboration that's been established between the DBE and Ilifala Bantwana. And they've been working on identifying the processes of what systems are out there, what systems can we use, and specifically looking at systems for early childhood development program registration so that we can streamline registration and make sure that, that all of that information is captured electronically and that we've got this live database of ECD programs in South Africa. They've identified the Western Cape NPO registration system as the closest fit to the solution that we're looking for, but there will be some customization rule that will need to be made. Both HEDCOM and CEM have looked at the use of the system and have agreed that it can be further adopted, further explored and adopted by basic education. And so currently, the DBE is in conversation with the Western Cape government on how we can adapt this system and customize the system for our approach. But we recognize that that will only be ready in the next financial year. And in the interim time, we will be using the same Bangasali system that DSD has been using to ensure that there's still the smooth transition and smooth handover of the function. So in terms of the ECD funding model under DBE, so in the short run for this financial year and the next financial, for 2022 and 23 and the 23-24 financial years, the intention is to implement exactly the same model that DSGD has been implementing through the 17 Rand per day child subsidy. What we are focusing on is to say, how can we standardize the implementation of this model? DSD has developed very useful ECD subsidy guidelines, and we are training our provinces and supporting our provinces on implementing these guidelines to make sure that, that funding is distributed equitably across the country. But we will already in this, the next 2 years start thinking through what other funding models can we perhaps explore and pilot to see if there's other more efficient ways of distributing funding to early childhood development centers or sites. And in the medium to long run from 2024 onwards, we will be implementing and thinking through a new funding model and systematically increase funding to ECD in the sector. So in terms of upscaling, recognizing that we need more additional funding to ECD as well, we've been working with the World Bank and National Treasury on a public expenditure institution review. And the purpose of this is to determine the amount of funding that is being spent by ECD in the different government spheres, as well as the different government departments. And the whole intention here is, again, to see how can we strengthen intergovernmental collaboration, how can we make sure that, that our institutional structures are in place and that there's efficient efficiencies that are being explored between the different government departments. In terms of human resource development, this is one of the key strategies to improving quality of early childhood development. I'm going forward. So over the next year, DBE will develop an ECD human resource strategic workforce plan. And in this plan, we are hoping to articulate the qualifications that's required by ECD practitioners, continuous professional development and in-service training, which includes the recognition of prior learning. We will also be articulating the guidelines for early learning and development, how registration with SACE will work, and norms and standards for admin and other support staff. And this whole strategic workforce plan is hoping to very clearly articulate to the sector what are the requirements, recognizing that we will be using a developmental approach and thinking through how best can we support our ECD practitioners to deliver the quality of programs that we really wish them to deliver. And obviously the strategy will build on the policies that's currently already in place. So there will be a task team that's established between the different government departments as well as non-governmental organizations and the various entities involved in the training and support of EC practitioners. The plan will be developmental in nature, and we will workshop this plan very well with the sector before we start with its implementation to make sure that everyone's on board and that all aspects have been considered. And finally, just some of the other work that we're involved in. There's the second Children's Amendment Bill, which is based or emanates from the Children's Act or the Children's Amendment Bill that started on the social development side that we are currently handing over to basic education. In 2021, in March 2021, it was decided that DBE should play a more active role in providing strategic inputs to the Second Amendment Bill. Based on that, DBE and DSD has co-led a technical task team since June last year. This task team has been working on incorporating all the public comments that's been received to date. And at this point, the task team has completed its work in terms of updating the Second Amendment Bill and having it ready for further processing. And in the new financial year, we'll start with that processing based on the guidance from the portfolio committees on how best to do that. Alongside with this, we'll also be reviewing the regulation norms and standards again to just make sure that the Second Amendment Bill and the norms and standards are aligned. So just in terms of risks that we've identified for this function shift and how we're mitigating it, one of the key risks is staff movement. We know that any type of change brings anxiety with it. That's one of the risks we've identified. And the second one is just ensuring that the staff that are transferring do have the requisite institutional knowledge to be able to continue with the EC function on basic education side. What we are doing and how we are mitigating this is to say that there needs to be joint change management processes, both on social development and education side, and there needs to be regular debriefings with staff to just help them think through this transfer process. And then on basic education side, there also needs to be a due diligence process on the transferring staff to understand what are their strengths, what are their institutional knowledge that they are bringing over, so that we are that we are sure that they can deliver the function that we require them to deliver. And this is being done by the interprovincial HR technical team. In terms of office accommodation, one of the risks is there not being enough office accommodation for the transfer staff, but the affected provinces have already looked into this. They've already decided on alternative measures to mitigate this, and MOUs have been signed to ensure that this matter has been addressed. Then resource gaps. We know from any function shift, resource gaps are inevitable. That's why we are doing a resource gap analysis currently to understand where there might be gaps that arises. The interprovincial team is working on this, and based on what we learn here, we'll proactively try to address those gaps as soon as possible. In terms of communication, we realize that this is a massive sector that's being affected, and there might be some misconceptions that's been growing on the ground in terms of expectations. There's various expectations that has been created in the sector, and we need to get the sector support and buy-in in terms of this function shift. So there's been a joint communication strategy that's been developed, been costed, and it's being implemented at national and provincial level. And Mr. Kawana also spoke about all the various activities that provinces are currently engaging in to make sure that the sector is very well aware of what's been happening and to proactively, again, address these misconceptions that might have been developing on the ground. Then in terms of just managing the transition, some of the key activities that we realized that need to happen to make sure we can do the payments to EC sites in April is regarding the ensuring that all SLAs and information for payments are being transferred and ensuring that all the data is transferred accurately. And the provincial legal and program implementation teams, along with the finance teams, have been developing transfer plans to ensure that all the SLAs are transferred, all the payment information is transferred, and that provincial education departments will be ready to start with the subsidy payments in April. And then finally, just in terms of the Second Amendment Bill, and we recognize from the public hearings that there was a big cry from the sector that we can't have delays in processing this these amendments just due to the function shift. And as the technical committee, we've really tried to push ourselves to have everything ready so that once, come 1 April, the second amendment bill will be ready for processing, and we'll be waiting for guidance on portfolio committees just on how best to process this going forward. So in terms of the communication strategy, just from national, there's been, we're busy planning a joint media briefing by both ministers in March. On 1 April, we're also planning a joint handover event, and the intention is for this to be attended by all ministers that are core to delivering holistic ECD services. And we've started a national countdown to the function. So daily, we can see that we now have got 22 days left before the function shifts. We've got the frequently asked questions document. There will be bulk SMSs and radio phone-in programs that's being organized via GCIES. We've had these monthly dialogue sessions, again, to just engage with the sector and hear from the sector what the anxieties are. And these dialogues have been targeting the broader ECD community. They've been online, and we've invited all NGOs, donors, ECD service providers, ECD forums, again, to allow people the space to voice their frustrations or their anxieties or their concerns, and so that we can productively engage with what we are hearing. At a provincial level, there's been many activities that's been happening. All provinces have been having district summits or district roadshows where they've been engaging with at the community level. They've also been having provincial summits. The Northwest is having their summit today and tomorrow. That all communication is currently happening as planned. Then perhaps some misconceptions, and these are the misconceptions we've picked up from the sector, that we thought it's very good to just clarify and make sure everyone's aware of it. And the one question we're getting very frequently is whether the DBE will now own all ECD programs. And what we are saying is that ECD programs have always been owned by either non-governmental organizations, communities, or private institutions. And this will be the case. Just because it's a function shift wouldn't mean that DBE now owns them. They will remain being owned by who has been owning them, but DBE will just be responsible for supporting them in the same way that DSD has been supporting them. Similarly, the question is whether ECD programs now will have to register with the Department of Basic Education. And what we are saying is that if an ECD program is currently registered with DSD, their registration status will be transferred to DBE. If the registration lapses in 2022, they will need to renew their registration with DBE. If an ECD program is unregistered, they will now need to register with DBE, and we will still follow the Bangasali registration process so that it's the same process they need to follow. It's just DBE that's currently running the process. In terms of the subsidy, come 1 April, the DBE will be responsible for paying the subsidy. We'll be doing it exactly the same way DSD has been doing. So ECD programs went through the process from, I think, September till the end of March, of submitting their business plans, entering to the SLAs, the DBs transferring these SLAs, and we will just become responsible for making the payments. In terms of practitioners' current employment arrangements, the second one also spoke about it. ECD practitioners are currently employed by ECD programs, and that will remain the case. DBE will not become responsible for paying the salaries of ECD practitioners all of a sudden. It's still the responsibility of the ECD programs. And basically what we're saying is that ECD programs remain the employers of ECD practitioners because ECD programs are privately or independently or NGO owned, and ownership is not going to be transferred. So there's a lot of questions about ECD practitioner qualifications. What we are saying is we're not expecting all practitioners to be qualified before 1 April all of a sudden, but we are encouraging ECD practitioners to continue with their professional growth. Currently, what we are recommending is that the ECD qualifications of NQF level 4 and 5 are still relevant, and we want to encourage ECD practitioners to strive to attain these. But through this workforce plan that we'll be developing, we'll be thinking through how can we best support ECD practitioners in the improvement of qualifications over the next couple of years. Colleagues, that's everything from our side. Thank you very much.
Chair,
Is the chair still in the meeting, Chairperson?
Sorry, I'll tell him. Sorry, members, the chairperson is disconnected. She's trying to join, and she just requested me that member from the chairperson of the portfolio committee on basic education to take over while she's trying to reconnect. Thank you very much. Honorable Bimo Begaba.
All right, no, thanks very much. Members, that's the presentation, which is the presentation from both departments. I see there is a hand of Honorable Aris and Honorable Masango and Honorable Songo and Honorable Sukers. Let me allow those hands to lead in the meantime. Honorable Aris?
Yes, thank you very much. I just need to get clarity on this, and I need to get an understanding of that. Does it mean that staff, because I have posed the question previously in the meeting, and my understanding was that staff members or the practitioners will go as a going concern to the Department of Basic Education. So what assurance can you give us that they won't be worse off? Because then I also see that you have said that staff been ring-fenced. I need to get clarity on what amount of staff is that. But then you also say that the ECD staff will remain independent. So just explain that more to us, because right now that ECD practitioners are like your teachers. They are professional people, because they go and study to get the qualification to be an ECD practitioner. But when it comes in terms of their salaries, and we all know that ECD teachers or practitioners for that matter are earning a very little salary due to the fact that the ECDs are relying on funding. So then also I would like to find out those staff members, since and then I also want to find out that will ECD practitioners also been registered, you know, to a specific, like your educators are registered with SAQWA. I want to find that out as well. Thank you very much. So which means that they are ECDs, but in essence, there's no real benefits to the practitioners. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Honorable Aris. I think my apologies to the meeting. I should just check with provinces if they are fine with the contents that have been presented by both national departments. Provinces can just maybe agree by just saying they agree with the contents or what?
Chair, may I come in before provinces would come? I'm not suppressing them.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to give this clarity that the presentation, like I indicated when the meeting started, that this presentation is the presentation of the two departments, and both departments are working with provinces. So they meet at the administrative level and they meet together. So it's the presentation coming from the two sectors. So, but yes, MECs and provinces that are here can just attest to the information presented. And but just to say, this is a presentation of the sector, the two sectors, social development and basic education, from their provinces, districts, and everybody to where we are today. Thank you, Chair, but I'm not saying MECs must not support or...
Ms. Nsabo? Because I'm hurt by it. Are you okay? Is your chairperson not back?
No, she's not back yet, Chair.
So are you saying what the DM is saying?
I can't speak on behalf of the MECs would want to say, because there was 2 minutes allocated if they want to omit or addition to the presentation. So I don't know what would be the decision of the committee on that.
Okay. Which provinces now are in the meeting? Do you have the...
I've got the KZN chair, I think Limpopo. Maybe what we can do, chair, we can just indicate, like, if there's one from Eastern Cape, the next Free State, the next Gauteng, and then they can just indicate. So we call them according to their alphabetical call. Eastern Cape is the first one.
Okay. Eastern Cape?
No one, chair.
What follows? Free State?
Free State, chair, yes. From DSD and DBE?
We are present, chair.
And do you have any additions?
No. We are covered, fully covered by the report.
Okay. What next, Tensabo?
It's Gauteng, chair.
Gauteng?
MEC indicated that he's got a cabinet meeting. I don't know whether there's someone from the Gauteng DPE.
What follows Free State?
It's KZN. No, so with Gauteng, we started with Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng. Yeah. We are in KZN now, is the fourth.
Coming down.
KZN, are you on the lift coming down?
No, KZN, the HOD is present. My MC was present before. I'm not sure whether he has rejoined, but the HOD is present.
But you are covered, HOD, right?
I am covered.
Okay, thank you very much. Which means we are done with provinces, Ms. Ndabu, right?
After KZN is Limpopo, Northwest, Northern Cape, and Western Cape. Those are.
Limpopo?
Good day, good Chair. My HOD and MEC are not available, but the HOD had joined before, from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, but we are fully covered in the report. No comment for now.
Thank you. What's the next province, Mpumalanga?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair. Mpumalanga is here. The HOD for education is here, and we want to confirm the report. And to also indicate that we are ready to receive the function as of the 1st of April 2022 at the Department of Education in Mpumalanga. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Can you request HOD KZN to mute, please?
Tatu Ngobo? Is it Ngobo, ne? Which one? HOD KZN? I don't know. Social Development, Education?
Ngobo. Education. Ngobo.
He has muted. Which next now? Northern Cape, anyone? No one. Northwest? No one? Are we done?
Northwest is
here, HOD.
Oh, thank you very much, Chairperson. The MEC was in the meeting. When we came back into the meeting, she was a little bit struggling to come back. But I'm here as the head of the department, and I do support the report as presented. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Mpumalanga, can you mute HOD in the first? No one from Mpumalanga?
Mpumalanga Chairperson has reported.
Oh, yes, we have reported. So we are done, Mrs. Abone?
The last one, Western Cape, Chair.
Western Cape,
Chair, Western Cape is here. We are covered by the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, so the provinces have also confirmed that they are covered by the report. We go back then to the hands as they were noted. Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you so much for the presentation from the department.
which I believe covered quite some ground in clarifying issues that we have raised in the past, and also giving the reports going forward.
Shakuluma, I can't hear now.
Lindy, where's iPhone? I think it's the minister, ne?
Oh yes, my apology. I can't hear anything. That's the problem. I can hear a little bit, Honorable Masango, but I can't hear much.
Okay. Has it improved, Honorable Minister?
That sounds a bit better. Thank you. My apology for disturbing. I didn't mean to. Just that I couldn't hear. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I will continue then. What I was saying is that the presentation has covered some huge ground in clarifying the queries that we had, but my questions, which are not many, are historical in that. Also, I just wanted to say that the levels of preparation in terms of communication of this project seem to be quite substantial, and one is grateful for that, because any project is as good as it is communicated to the relevant people. When we were in the Free State, Chairperson, with the public hearings on the Children's Amendment Bill, there were quite a number of ECD practitioners that were at that meeting, and if I remember well, most of them didn't even support the bill because of the grievances they had with this process. I am also encouraged by the fact that both presentations covered that there have been summits, as we were promised when we were in the Free State and other provinces. So one believes that has actually done some good in making sure that the ECD practitioners are kept on board with the process. So my question is that last week we had a meeting with SAGA where they were briefing us about the function shift, and very much in passing, which is why I would like the presenters to just clarify for me. Very much in passing, the lady that did the presentation said that they had not been contacted, although she also confirmed that SAGA is part of the stakeholders that are meeting regularly. So I didn't understand where the gap is. And in the timelines that have been presented here this morning, I think it was slide 14 and 15, if I'm not mistaken, I did not specifically see SAGA, but I did see that there are stakeholder engagements that are ongoing. I would like to know where in this process is SAGA, as I believe they are a very important stakeholder in ensuring that everything technical that we have heard this morning actually happens on the ground in actual, real, practical, physical buildings. And so also there was presentation by the Department of DSD where they mentioned that they would be transferring some money. I believe it's 3 point something billion rand, and it was also sort of divided nicely into what is going to take care of what. I would like to know that, because this is going to be happening over a period of time, the rolling out and the handover is not a big bang situation like it was said earlier by the Deputy Minister of DBE. Will there be staff at or officials at DSD that will be working on this project? And is the budget for their salaries and upkeep and whatever, is that budget staying with DSD, or what is going to be happening to those people who are the employees of DSD but who are working on this project until it's successful handover to DBE? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malsango, Honorable Songo.
Thank you very much, Chair, and greetings to honorable members and the departments. Chair, let me welcome the presentation, and it has indeed clarified a number of issues that one had, but two questions that I have, Chair. I heard the presenter speaking about transferring social workers, DSP social workers, to the Department of Education. Won't that affect DSD? Because as it stands, communities are complaining about the unavailability of DSD social workers when they need it. And secondly, in the provinces where they use the online application system to enroll learners, will this system also apply to the ECD learners? If yes, won't that be too much for the Department of Education, since as it stands, parents are experiencing problems at the beginning of every year relating to the admission of learners? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Masango, can I request you to lower your hand? And Honorable Songo. Honorable Fuker.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you to the department for the presentation. I should just apologize, Chair. I came into the meeting at the end of the presentation, so I haven't followed the presentation as I was in health. My question really is, it touches on what both honorable members Masango has said now. And it goes to capacity and the inclusion of your small operators that came out in the public hearings. Now, one of the biggest concerns that was addressed by the ECD practitioners was the cumbersome and difficulty in them being able to have to get registered, get access, and you know, those issues that administratively hampers them to get compliant. So I just would like to know what is being done by the department to increase capacity to respond specifically to service providers and you know, the ECD sector specifically to get them aligned. Then secondly, in the presidential address to the nation, the president put huge emphasis on stimulating economic development, specifically when it comes to small, medium enterprises and the like. And just in terms of the future, if we could, has there been made any adjustment after the presidential address to accommodate specifically how we can, you know, increase or, you know, stimulate growth within the ECD sector that is in line with the priorities that has been set out, because the education sector is ripe with opportunity and possibility. So I know that it speaks maybe further away from the technical elements of the presentation, but it would be good to know whether those you know, high level priorities are being considered and whether there's adaptation strategies that are already being considered. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sukers. Honorable Abrahams.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenters for the presentation. Chairperson, my questions are as follows. Throughout the public hearings, majority of ECD practitioners stood up and questioned what is happening with the ECD Presidential Stimulus Relief Fund. Now, I note in slide 27, DBE says that the ECD stimulus fund will be supported. By saying this, what does DBE mean it will be supported? Are they saying that should DSD not fulfill payments by the 31st of March this year, they will be taking over the verification and the payments of these ECDs for the stimulus fund? Because I don't believe DBE has capacity for this. And one thing we need to get very clear to the sector is what is going to happen to these millions of fund come 1 April. Will they still be receiving their presidential stimulus relief fund, or what will be happening?
Chair, I'm covered in terms of SALGA. I would also then just like to go to funding, chairperson. And the reason I'm asking the funding question is because my understanding is that there's no additional money from Treasury for ECD with this migration, if that is correct. And the reason for this question, Chair, is that if we want to see improvement in learning outcomes, how do we see improvement without added resources? And I would like to ask if the DBE speaker can put in the presentation or put in writing what she said, that every child will be subsidized with 17 rand. Because it's my understanding that certain provinces actually pay different subsidy amounts. And also to get some reassurances that, you know, ECDs will be paid on time and in full, because as we saw, especially during the hard lockdown, you know, DSD was in court over the non-payment of ECD subsidies. So if that issue of, is it 17 rand per child in every province, if that can just be committed in writing. Then Chairperson, slide 9, DBE makes mention of their National School Nutrition Program and the Integrated Schools Health Program. By noting this in the presentation, is DBE saying that ECDs will also be included in these nutrition programs? A question on ECD conditional grant. Will the ECD conditional grants also be transferred? Because I noted that all of the DSD provinces did not spend their full allocations last year. And I also know that DBE is struggling with their own conditional grants. And are we not also then putting the sector at risk with underspending, especially when at our public hearings, most of the ECDs complain that they are struggling with infrastructure and they're struggling with their conditional registration. Then Chairperson, just on the issue of streamlining the registration process that DBE makes mention, I would like to hear from DBE if they are, you know, in their plan to review norms and standards, have they heard the sector's call for, has been saying for years that the one size fits all registration model does not work, and if they are taking this into their planning when they do review the norms and standards. Because what we don't want to see is further alienation of ECDs, in particular rural and informal settlements, because they'll never be able to meet the current norms and standards, and they'll never be able to meet the high cost of zoning and clearing certificates. And, you know, registration is not just excluding them from funding from government, but it also excludes them from funding in the private sector and from private donors. And then Chairperson, I would just like to lastly say, and you know, Chair, I'll submit some, in for the interest of time, I'll submit the rest of my more technical questions in writing via our committee 60 for DBE and DSD to answer. But just the last 2 points I'd like to make, DBE says that ECDs will stay private businesses and they are respecting their independence. But since we're still under the Disaster Management Act and there are still regulations in play, will ECDs then still be recognized as independent businesses, or are they going to be recognized as schools? And should our country experience, you know, another crisis, another pandemic, you know, we speak about ECD independence, but when that comes into play again under the Disaster Management Act, where will our ECDs fall? Private businesses or under, you know, schools? And then lastly, you know, Chairperson, DBE's vision for ECDs is very similar to DSD. And it will just be interesting to see how going forward, you know, DBE does what DSD maybe couldn't achieve during their time. But what's going to be crucial is obviously the improved funding and improved access to ECD and those qualifications of ECD practitioners, because what we don't want to see is that much of the same systems, just under different department's name with a different minister to hold to account. But that's all from our side, Chairperson. The rest I'll submit in writing in the interest of time.
I would like to take this opportunity. I don't have a question, actually, Honorable Chairperson, but I think it's important for me to also appreciate the kind of work that has actually been done by the two departments, both DBE and DSD. I also want to take this opportunity to indicate that the work that is actually being expressed or indicated and presented to us through the presentation, I've also came across this kind of work in my constituency, in the area where I work in the Northern Cape. And then I've also noted that throughout the State of the Province's address, most premiers have actually made pronouncements that the function shift will be moving and then effective from the 1st of April. So there's a lot of work that has been done. It's actually what I'm trying to say. So I would like to take this opportunity as well to send a word of gratitude for both the political departments in the DBE through Mama Angie Mutega, the GM there, Mama Mahaule, as well as Mark Geba from the Social Development Department, as well as our DM, for the kind of work that they've put together, their brains together, and also the political leadership that they've actually shown and displayed to make that everything, the function will be transferred smoothly and then without any hindrance. I would like to take this opportunity to appreciate and then say I'm also confident where I'm sitting that on the 1st of April, this function will actually be successfully being shifted to DBE. I also want to indicate, as I conclude, Honorable Chairperson, that in the last Joint Portfolio Committee which we had, I had some issues with the technical and the legal framework of the function shift. But I've also noted in the presentation, quite elaborate and quite detailed, that those issues have been covered, and including also the issue of most people that are working in the department, they were asking themselves what is going to happen about their jobs, whether they are going to lose their jobs. Many people were anxious and all of that. So I think the presentation covers all the issues which were of great concern to my side. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much from the members that have participated in the questions session. I think from my side, myself as well, I think we must say that we need to congratulate both the departments on the work that they have done. As both departments in making sure that this shift is finally going to happen this year. We believe it has not been an easy process, but I think the maturity and the fact that it has been managed well is going to assist moving forward. And I do not think that we would say 100% we won't expect some few challenges, but we hope and trust that both departments have the capacity to handle whatever that would come. But just for clarity, from the Department of Social Development, because it's not the department that I'm really working with, I would just want to know, did the department have any sort of an ECD practitioner training and development that you had probably in the past 2 years? And how did you as a department strengthen the capacity of caregivers in understanding the legislation and implementation of the 0-4 curriculum and materials?
but also as the department, can you make us understand how have you made the improvements to early learning regulatory and compliance system? And how far is the process of the second children amendment bill? And to our department, which is the basic education, this funding that we are briefed about that will be transferred to basic education, how will you allocate it for the early learning programs in particular, to cater for the child caregivers? And I'm raising this question because there are those home-based care and ECD playgrounds which are not necessarily formalized. And the reality, we all know that when things will shift to basic education, there will be some formalities. So the practitioners that are taking care of those children in your playgrounds and in your home-based care institutions, is the department, particularly of DBE, taken them into sense as well, that there are those that you won't necessarily be able to leave out? Now, also in valuing formal and informal education, how will the ECD practitioners with no formal qualifications be recognized for years of experience? Because I think as we are doing this type of work, meet with people who are also concerned that, look, I do not have qualifications. And the reality now, when things, you formalize them, you would want that qualifications. And I think it's the response that we have been giving. But if there are those that have got many years of experience doing this ECD work with no necessary qualifications. And I think those are type of the things that are going to come to the Department of Basic Education. And also, are we going to have social workers and health practitioners that are going to visit these ECDs in our provinces? I know that this shift is it's not a shift that will automatically go on the 1st of April, like formally, and it's going to take some days, some months, and some years probably. But such plannings, are they there? Those are the issues that I would wanted from my side. Okay, I see there's a hand of Honorable Advance as well. Can I allow you to speak, Honorable Advance?
Well, thank you very much, Jefferson. And my apologies again, because the system kicked me out. And then I was back to it while I was speaking, so I didn't actually disturb you. But let me also take this opportunity and appreciate the presentation.
I'm not sure if other people can hear you properly, but there is a bad sound that is imitating you.
In a very quiet place. I don't know how. Am I audible?
Can you proceed? Let's see how it goes.
I was saying, let me also appreciate the presentations.
We can't hear.
It's really difficult. It's like there is a car. I don't know. There is a bad sound though that is speaking with you.
Yo, I don't know what's happening, but it's very quiet.
You write your issues down.
It's fine, sir. Thank you.
Okay, then. All right. And then there is Honorable Siwela. Is apparently he's got connection issues as well, but his question is, Chair, can you raise the issue of partial care certificate? How will that be handled? Because to date, that seems to be problematic to get. So those are the questions that we are having from members from both committees. I am going to allow the departments to both respond. Probably we start with the social development, and then after we will allow DPE as well to follow. Minister, are you still in the meeting? Social development?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I am in the meeting. I'm requesting that the officials respond to the questions.
Okay, then. Can you get the officials to respond?
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon, Minister. Yes, I will respond to issues that relate to DSD and in cases where they meet other officials, like the issues of budget and so on. I will request the CFO to assist in that regard. Chairperson, let me start by appreciating all the issues and the questions that have been raised by members that are quite valuable and that begins to assist us, you know, in terms of applying our minds when we are dealing with this issue of funding sheet and service delivery as a whole. I want to talk about the issue of SALGA, which was raised by Honorable Masango, their participation, you know, in this whole process. I can say it with confidence, Chairperson, that we having the structures that we are utilizing that have been established in terms of the current ECD policy that was approved by Cabinet in 2015. We've got our interdepartmental structure that basically looks at, you know, issues that pertain to departments, the role, and it's a platform that is being used, you know, to also share and not just share, but also collaboratively address issues that pertain to service delivery that, you know, affects departments. And SALGA is part of that structure. And we requested nominations, you know, to be done by accounting officers in writing. And therefore, this is the structure that it does meet, you know, on a bi-monthly basis. And this ECD function shift has been communicated. We have engaged, you know, with departments, you know, at that level. But also we've got an intersectoral forum where we've got civil society and government departments. And this is an issue that has been on the agenda. And, you know, all the departments and all the stakeholders, including the intersectoral forum members, are well conversant with what is happening with regard to the issue of funding. That's the first thing. The second issue, Chairperson, that relates to the transfer of social workers to DBE, how will it affect, that was raised by Honorable Songo, how will it affect the Department of Social Development? I said in my presentation, the presentation that we did, that yes, it's going to affect the department, given the fact that, of course, we've got shortage of social workers, the increase in social ills that we are confronted with, the impact of COVID, you know, on our people. And as the Department of Social Development, we are at the forefront of ensuring that we deal with programs such as psychosocial support, you know, that pertains to all the South African in the country, just to mention one. With no doubt, we are affected. And I've said that, you know, we had to really ensure that we transfer staff, because the issue of the children is also very critical. The best interest of the children is also critical. And therefore, we really need to ensure that we follow the principle of function shift, where we're saying the resources also follow the function. However, as the department currently, we are busy, you know, ensuring that we come up with a strategy to ensure that, you know, we utilize or we the issue of social workers and recruitment of social workers in a coordinated manner. Because when we talk about issues of social workers, it's not only the responsibility of the Department of Social Development. Other government departments also have got a mandate to carry in terms of issues of social issues that pertain to social workers. And as the department that is core, we are coordinating all efforts and coming up with a strategy in terms of how are we going to deal with this issue of a shortage of social workers and how are we going to recruit. We are on that. And at the moment, we have a draft strategy that we have consulted within, and we are going to involve other government departments in terms of giving input so that we finalize the strategy and it's being presented as cabinet. The issue of increased capacity, yes, the issue of the cumbersome of in registration. We acknowledge the fact that yes, currently the issue of registration is cumbersome. And Chairperson, in my presentation, I have mentioned that of course, as the Department of Social Development, we see the finalization of the Second Amendment Bill, Children's Amendment Bill, as the ultimate solution. But currently, there are initiatives that we have come up with as the Department of Social Workers. When we're working in collaboration with other government departments that are very important, your SALGA, your Department of Health, and the municipalities, because for an ECD to be registered as partial care, and I'm addressing the other one that
has raised
in terms of the partial care.
Yes. I'm returning a call. I saw that you called. I missed your call.
Lamisa?
Yes, it's cumbersome, and we have come up with initiatives, and we acknowledge the fact that one size fits all. It's not going to apply to all ECDs, given, you know, there are different dynamics that they are faced up with. Hence, when we talk about the development of the registration framework that we came up with, we began to categorize, you know, the registration in terms of different levels. The first level, which looks at the bare minimum in terms of registration, is the bronze category, followed by the silver and the gold one. And with the bronze is the bare minimum, which we have taken into consideration the circumstances that are surrounding the ECD. I want to get into the issue of ECD stimulus. I know this question was posed to Department of Basic Education in terms of what do they mean and what is it that they are going to do. Chairperson, I must acknowledge that this is one of the programs that, you know, as a department, we are passionate about. And I must say that when this issue of stimulus package came into existence, we debated a lot as the department in terms of the eligibility of the ECDs that needs to be paid. And according to the Children's Act, an ECD that is not registered is not recognized as existence. However, having said that, having, you know, deliberated with our political heads, our minister and deputy minister, we realize that if we stick to the definition of ECD as the Children's Act, the principal act that we are implementing as the department, that we deliberately chose, you know, to defy. We said that the reality is that, you know, we've got children in this unregistered ECD, and most of them are in deep rural areas. And therefore, we really need to accommodate those children. And that is why we came up with a policy in terms of saying that we are administering the public funds. How best can we ensure that we put in place the control measures that when the AG comes, we are able, you know, to explain, you know, what control measures we have put in place. And one of the critical issues is that the ECD must have a banking account. And Chairperson, we cannot administer the public funds to individuals, whereas they are applying me for 20 people. And it's going to be a very problematic for us to be able to account whether, you know, these monies have been given to it. So it's one of the challenges that we are faced up with, you know, to ensure that we finalize this stimulus package. The second issue that we are faced up with, Chairperson, is the issue of, you know, when we do a verification in terms of the staff, as opposed to national population register. We find that some of the staff that have been included in the ECD as part of ECD staff are on PESAS, and most of them, you know, are employed by government. And I'm just citing the example of, you know, even though the process might be seen as being tedious, but because we're dealing with public funds and we remain accountable as public servants, we had to do some of these things. And some of the ECDs we're trying to verify with, to do site visits, and we cannot, you know, there's no existence of their existence. The fourth part is that, you know, some of them, the applicants that we received, you find that they are not even rendering ECD services. Now, we are caught, and some, they keep on, you know, in terms of the staff, they keep on, even though they correct the staff information with regard to IDs, they keep on failing. Now, the question that we are asking ourselves is that, are these people, are these staff in existence? Are these ECDs existing? And it will paint a picture as if Department of Social Development is not doing what it is supposed to be doing. I can attest that so far, Chairperson, we've been able to pay more than 64,600 and something staff that qualified. And we are not even sure, you know, even if we are being looked as if we are not doing well, as to whether the people that we are talking about, the incidents that we are talking about, are in existence. So they keep on failing the verification in terms of those critical areas. And that in itself, it delays us consolidating, you know, the project itself. We have put measures in place, Chairperson, to ensure that, you know, we support this ECDs. We have made call for them to come forth. We have put the help desk into place. We have put our staff into place who sit with ECDs to ensure some of them are not coming forward. Some who come, you know, still, you know, give the wrong information. So I am saying, Chairperson, we as the department, we are passionate about the ECDs, and that is why the decision that we have taken, and we are saying that we are availing ourselves, and we therefore want also the ECD sector to come forward, you know, so that we can work together, collaborating to close this project. Chairperson, on the... Gigaba, in terms of whether the department has been failing and also doing the capacity, the development, training and development of ECDs. Chairperson, the ECD policy is very clear. Even though we are currently responsible for ECDs, but in terms of role clarification, it has always been the responsibility of Department of Education to come up with curriculum for all the age categories in terms of children who are in ECDs, whether they are under the Department of Social Development or under the Department of Basic Education. It is the responsibility of Department of Education to develop curriculum, to ensure that ECDs are being trained, to ensure that, you know, there is continuous development. And therefore, I think the fact that, you know, maybe the Department of Basic Education was also constrained, you know, in some areas, this did not happen. It has not always been the Department of Social Development. I think in terms of the process of the Second Amendment Bill, I will request the legal people, you know, to also deal with that and tell us, because I know they've been working together as the two departments in terms of ensuring that we push, you know, the issue of alignment. The transfer of funds, how will it be done when it is being transferred? All what we know is that this is a budget that comes from the Department of Social Development. That is basically transferred to Department of Basic Education for fulfilling the function as it has been in the past. In terms of how they will try to divide the budget, I think it will be the prerogative of the Department of Basic Education. However, they must also be guided by, you know, what the allocations are for. The issue of home-based care not formalized, and then there will be formalities once function has been shifted. Okay, the issue of home-based care also, it goes back to the roles and responsibilities of different government departments. And this has been always been, especially when we talk about the child minding, it has always been the role of municipalities in terms of what the policy is saying. And I want to agree that at least we need to try and strengthen the issue of collaboration and coordination so that each and every government, you know, play its role when it comes to issues of ECDs. And I must admit, Chairperson, that this is quite an informal sector. Majority of ECDs are not registered. And therefore, we really need to come up with a very clear plan in terms of how best are we going to assist these ECDs to ensure that they are formalized and they meet the requirements. Because, Chairperson, it is not right and that we are not supporting our ECDs to ensure that, you know, they are formalized, they've got banking accounts, they are run in a manner that they are supposed to be run as whether a business or not. Because with us, we see it as a business, but however, what comes first is the best interest of a child. Hence, we regulate them in terms of the Children's Act. The Children's Act is about the best interest of a child. Okay, are we going to have the ECD health and social workers to monitor ECDs? Chairperson, the social workers that we have transferred to DBE, part of their responsibilities is to ensure that they monitor ECDs. There will be no social workers that are coming from the Department of Social Development, given, you know, the mammoth task that we are faced up with, the gap that has been created in terms of dealing with, you know, the social ills and so on. So the social workers that have been are going to be transferred, well, part of their responsibility will be to monitor the ECDs, you know, that have been transferred. Chairperson, I am not sure from the DSD side. I've been able Thanks, Chairperson. That's how far I can go. Thanks. And once more, let me appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.
No, thank you very much, DSD. Can we switch over now to basic education? DM, are you still in the meeting? But she has indicated that she must leave. DG? Is DG also not in the meeting? Okay, DBE?
Honorable Chairperson, if I may come in, I can respond to DBE if you will allow me.
It's fine, my care.
Thanks. So I just think that the DSD has done a very good job of answering a lot of the questions, and they have clarified from their side what they are sending over to DBE. From our side, we await the function to come on 1 April, and we have been doing planning ahead of what exactly will happen when this function comes to us. In that context, we have, because we are aware that there has been a lot of anxiety amongst either the ECD practitioners or the staff who are located within DSD, and we have been consistent to say that what will happen on 1 April of 2022 will be a transfer of funds and a legal transfer of where it is located from one department to another. So on 1 April, the Minister of DSD will no longer be responsible for the function shift. It will be the Minister of Education. At the same time, all the funding will then transfer over to DBE, and we will take over and we will maintain that which we receive in the initial transfer. So we are not anticipating that we will have fundamental changes happen right from the first month, and that many things can be different and bring about more anxiety and create chaos in that way. We will maintain that which DSD has been running, and then we will phase in whatever improvements need to happen going forward. We have identified what areas we think are possible in some of the areas that we can easily look at low-hanging fruits and how we can bring about these improvements. DBE has a very well-developed data system that we run within our schooling sector, and that data system can very easily be transferred and absorb the ECD centers and also the registration, you know, going forward. But we are at a point where we are studying the various appropriate means about how that can happen. Our EMIS section, which runs various databases for DBE like SASAMS, LURITS and EMIS, have been looking at that and have been working with DSD to understand their system and to see how we can transfer it and how we can synchronize the two. And so that process will continue once it comes over to DBE, and we will take all the stakeholders, all the ECD centers and all the staff that are affected by this, we will take them on board as and when we reintroduce new additions and we are able to synchronize the two systems. So with relation to registration and how that will happen, that, you know, if there are new measures that we introduce down the line, it will not happen immediately. We will have to understand correctly what is possible before we can make the difference and bring about improvement. Our aim from the side of DBE is to look at how we can maximize on what we currently have in the schooling system and extend it into the ECD space. For instance, we do run a very well established nutrition program, and we maximize in that, in the running of that program, we maximize on the economies of scale. And so the information that we will get from the DSD and the further research and discussions that we will have when this function comes over to DBE will look at the extent to which we can extend the nutrition program that is currently run in DBE into the ECD space. This will not be able to happen immediately because, as it has been indicated, not all the information has been captured from DSD in their systems that they have. And so we'll have to understand better what the circumstances are. We have started a discussion already inside of DBE around that. We've also started a discussion with the Treasury around including a third component of the conditional grant, which would look at nutrition and how we can extend that. And we would have to look at what the value of the conditional grant is per child and how we can then, you know, extend the improvements in terms of what the money is spent for. Where we can absorb that through different funding that we already have systems in place in DBE, we will do that. The advantage of that would be that we would be able to then free up the funding that is currently allocated per child in DSD. If we are able to maximize on the economies of scale that we have in our current system, we would then be able to free up funding that is currently spent per institution where the centers are, and we would then be able to direct that the funding is utilized for much needed improvements that are there. One of the things we wish to really work on as it comes up to DBE is to build on a minimum resource package for 0 to 4 year olds, which is the materials and the resources and the toy libraries that need to be provided to the young learners, but with a view to stimulate learning and to catch that at the earliest stage as we can. And so we will look at the way in which we could then also from the funding allocate or ring fence funding towards introducing a minimum resource package that would be utilized in all areas of ECD, not only in ECD centers, but we would also look at areas like home care as well as play groups, which is part of the options that we would consider. All of these learners, irrespective of where they find themselves, need to be stimulated, and learning needs to be encouraged from the earliest point, of course age appropriate, and we would have to do a lot of development and training programs to ensure that all of that is all of the persons who are involved with this, because if you look at the home care and the play group models, those are not necessarily practitioners, but they also need to be trained and developed to know what is the appropriate way to stimulate a young learner, and that this can happen, you know, in a uniform way across the country. So we will be looking at that. These are very large programs that we intend to introduce, and it cannot happen within 1 year. So we will look at a phased-in approach. We will look at which are the low-hanging fruits, and we will identify that and pronounce on that. We will then also, in the outer years, indicate how we will be building the system so that we take everyone along with us. The one conundrum that has always been there is that there's an expectation by many and the misinformation that went out in the communication that the ECD practitioners will now become teachers, and that is not possible. ECD practitioners have a particular process of, you know, preparing through their development programs that, and studies that they engage in to get to NQF level 7, and it's only when you're at NQF level 7 that you can translate. We have a very, for those who are familiar with the qualifications of a teacher, we have a very, very clear translation of what makes you a professional teacher. And so what we have looked at with the ECD, even before the function shift has happened, is that we have translated already those practitioners who reach that level. They are able to translate to become teachers. And they are then able to get into a public school and be appointed as a teacher. And there is a difference between an ECD practitioner and an who hasn't reached that level, and an ECD practitioner who has met those standards and is able to translate. Having said that, all is not lost in terms of what needs to happen, because we have had discussions with DHET. And there is a new career pathing that they have established, which does not necessarily make ECD practitioners to be teachers. That is not necessarily what the requirements of the, you know, to be an ECD practitioner is. So we want to encourage learning and development of the ECD practitioners so that they translate into a career path that is commensurate with the what is required in an ECD space, and that is not necessarily a degree that you have. It could be a diploma. It could be something that's specialized for that area, and not only for those who are developing or teaching the learners, you know, the curriculum, but also to develop other career paths for those who care for these learners. So over the next coming years, we will then develop a very clear career path for ECD, and the sector will then have conditions of service that could, and salary scales that could be created within the sector that is specific to the ECD space, and we will build on that, and we will then look at how we can get the additional funding for that. As we understand the sector currently, these centers as they exist can be compared to our independent schools. So many of these centers are on private property that is not owned by the department, and it is established as a running business in much the same way as our independent schools are. So we will have to develop a model that kind of works with our independent schools in terms of how we capture the data, we allocate EMIS numbers, we allocate information around what the staffing components are, what the levels of the different occupations are within the in that center, and how that, what the standards, the norms and standards are in respect of human resource matters, as well as educational matters, as well as care and support matters would be in terms of how it should be run and what the compliances would be going forward. There is a large area of work that still needs to happen. We have gone very far in terms of doing the initial work. We have a concept document that we have developed, which gives our vision of what we would like to do. But like we say, this cannot happen on 1 April. These are matters that have got funding aspects that are allocated to it. And so we will have to do the work, and we have already started doing the work to see how do we maximize on what we currently have on offer in DBE, which we cannot absorb. And that would then free up additional funding in the current allocations within ECD that we could then redirect for new improvements. And Chairperson, I think this is mainly the area I wish to explain to the members of the House, so that we help to give an indication of how we wish to move forward as the DDE. The areas of qualifications, like I've indicated, we know that there are currently lots of staff within the sector in the ECD space that have not got qualifications, but they have years of experience. And that's why mapping out career pathing is important, so that everyone does not have to run towards being a practitioner. Because very much like in the schooling space, we don't only have teachers, there are other employees that help to run the system. In the same way, we envisage that those who have the years of experience in ECD and who have given their lives to looking after the children, they will still be able to maintain the opportunity of continuing in the work that they do, and that we would not necessarily force them to become practitioners. So we will offer a training programs. We have already discussed with the ETTPCT in particular what opportunities of training we can enable for these employees who work in the ECD space, so that they are given opportunity to have to build some training opportunities for themselves and to get some qualifications, albeit that it's not in educational programs, but there are other training aspects that help for them to be more knowledgeable around how to care and look after children, but also how to run a center. There are many training programs in particular that they could maximize on. So we are looking forward to taking over the function on 1 April, and we will continue to provide the information as we conclude on our discussions and how we can definitely improve bring about improvements in the ECD space. And this can only happen once we have the confirmation from the Treasury that we are allowed to do this, but also where we have an indication that it requires additional funding, that we have approval from them that we would give them additional funding to be able to bring about the improvements. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ms. Gaya. Members, those are the responses then from both the departments. Are we okay, or do we have any follow-ups? I see Honorable Abrahams. Is the Chairperson back or still not back?
I'm back, Chairperson. Thank you.
Then you can take over, Ma, after Honorable Abrahams.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. And Chair, I note the DSD's response to the ECD Stimulus Relief Fund package, but it still doesn't answer the question that I have and the ECD sector has, is what's going to happen to the money come 1 April? Will they still be paid the money? Will the funds stay for that purpose, or will the funds be lost? Thanks, Chair.
Chair. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson Bongi. Can we get the answer from Honorable Alexander I thought it was answered, but maybe we let's request the repetition of it. Can I request DST?
Chairperson, it's Minister Zulu. DST, Isabella is going to answer it just in 2 seconds.
Okay. Yes, because it was answered. I think I heard it. Thank you, Minister.
Let's take it back to them.
Okay, Chairperson, thank you very much. The issue of stimulus, our intention as the Department of Social Development, if it's in our power only, we want to consolidate this project before the end of financial year. However, having said that, Chairperson, the dependencies are also on the sector, you know. And if the sector doesn't come forward, or when it comes forward and keep on correcting the information, but the information still, you know, fail the verification, I think it has got very major implications, as I've said, that it raises eyebrows as to whether those staff members are in existence, or whether the ECD is in existence and so on. And, you know, the consolidation won't happen if we don't, you know, get that cooperation from the sector itself. And I don't know, at some stage, because we cannot continue the way we are continuing, we need to try and consolidate for those that we have verified and they have passed the verification. And those that are repeatedly, you know, getting into the pool and are being re-verified and are not passing, I think as a department, we need to take a decision in that line. Now, the issue of, because some might qualify maybe towards the end of financial year, and for the mere fact that they would have qualified at 10%, I think we will have to try and ask, you know, for... I'm not sure as to whether Treasury can allow us, but to ask for a rollover, because we would have verified that these ECDs exist. And unfortunately, it will be maybe towards the end of the financial year. And that's the issue that we have to, you know, to as we are saying that during transitional methods, we're not going to sort of withdraw at all, but we'll work together with the Department of Basic Education to ensure that some of the projects, not only this one, there are a number of projects that we are involved in, we need to try and consolidate, you know, as a collective, to ensure that we don't disadvantage our ECDs. I'm not sure, Chairperson, if I have responded to that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Isabel. Are there any other questions that honorable members would like to ask? I don't
yes,
see
Chair.
Any.
Chair. Yes. I just want to check something with the Department of Basic Education. The Cabinet Resolution of 2018, which this states that departments must appoint social workers. I just want to find out if the department did appoint social workers, and why can't those social workers not be utilized to assist the ECDs? Bear in mind that the Department of Social Development has a huge shortage of social workers.
Okay. Any other hand? I don't see any other hand. Are the provinces covered in terms of the question? Seemingly they are covered. I don't see anyone. Can we respond to that one? The last one that has been asked by Honorable Aris.
Chair, if I may come and answer.
Please, Kaya.
So I hear the question around the social workers, but when we're dealing with a function shift, we cannot send the function without sending some staff members to do the function. Currently, those employees are in DSD, and if they were working in the ECD space, then you have to move with the function. So the staff follow the function. Now, it's up to DSD then to identify those staff members who work in the space of ECD and who have to follow the function to DBE. If they were social workers, well, then we will receive the social workers to continue with the work in ECD. If there were other staff members who were public service staff and not necessarily social workers, then that would be the allocation. So this has been identified in the PMOG and the NMOG, which covers the process of the function shift. It's a legal document that then allocates how many staff members will be coming, what their job descriptions are, what they previously did, and that we understand that these are the people then that have to come over. So it's in that context that we receive the staff members. We welcome every one of them, whether they are a social worker or they are just a public servant that is coming over. We did not specify the category of the worker. We left it up to DSD to decide, and they allocated that formally in the documents that were submitted to Cabinet, and in the proclamations, that those documents had to be attached with the proclamation. And so it's in that context that we understand that we are receiving social workers. And fortunately in education, we have a lot of social care and support work that we have to do. And so we really welcome receiving such skilled employees who can also assist us in this space. We work collaboratively and we work as sister departments between the two. The functions of DSD and the functions of DB is all in the space of looking after the children. And so we don't think that the functions of social workers and the work, the value added by any social worker will be lost in education, because we also have the same kinds of work that we do. We often have to go to DSD to assist us. I hope that answers the question in terms of how they were allocated to DBE. Thank you.
Thank you, Kaya. By the looks of things, honorable members, like Honorable Abrams is saying that she's going to submit written questions because she is looking at the time. So those questions are accepted and are allowed. Can we then give over to the last word for the minister, the ministers that are present, because we're only left with close to 12 minutes before the closure of the meeting. Minister Zulu, are you present?
I am present, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I will keep my video off because the network is not so very good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right.
Over to you, Minister. Huh? Lindy, what has happened now?
I don't know, Chair, because I think she's using two lines.
Maybe she has been kicked out by the system. Is DM still with us?
Hello, Chair.
Hello.
Sorry, Honorable Mvana. I am using Tulani's laptop now. I was joined through my iPhone. But firstly, let me just thank you for having invited us both, Minister, myself and Minister Angie Mutega, to this meeting. I must indicate that from the time that I joined the department, Minister Mutega had already been there in the department, and therefore the decisions that were made about this move, I did my best together with the department to make sure that we implement the decision that had already been made. It's also important to recall that the migration of this function to the Department of Basic Education is premised on the best interest of the child. right from the beginning when I started here, it was a little bit difficult for me to understand why, but the process being explained to me, and in particular, understanding the importance of preparing a child for school, we decided then to make sure that we push for the process. And today we can assure you that this function is indeed migrating to the Department of Basic Education on the 1st of April. And I think the presentations that have been made here are presentations that we've been working on since, especially the different areas of work that we did. And we identified the seven key elements upon which focused work streams were established. And I think this was presented adequately today, so I don't want to go into that. As well as, of course, the province level task teams were established in all the nine provinces. And again, that was adequately covered today. And so during the medium-term budget policy statement also, the Minister of Finance tabled the function migration, and I think this was also covered adequately today. And so the two departments continue to work together towards ensuring that the funding that should be received by the sector is received timely. When we talk about the questions that have been consistently asked by the members, and I know that even in today's questions that I'm answering in Parliament, one of the questions refers to that. I wish to thank the Honourable Chairpersons and the Honourable Members of both portfolio committees for your relentless guidance. As I have just mentioned, the progress achieved to date would not have been possible without the leadership of our MECs also in the provinces. Chairperson, please receive the joint briefing as was presented today. But I also want to conclude by saying we are one government, and therefore this migration must not be seen in isolation of the overall plan and the proper coordination between the departments, not only the two departments, but government in general, because it is in the interest of government overall to make sure that we have children who are ready for school. We are children who are going to be your future scientists, your future doctors, your future engineers. For me, it starts right there when they enter school. We don't have to be doing that only when they have to go to matric or when they're going to university. So I wish to thank you for this opportunity. And I think Minister Mutsekga would have exactly done the same in closing, because we've been working very well together on this project. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister. We have been thanked by the Minister. The DM from DBE, is she present? Is she with us?
I think, Chair, she left. She indicated
She left. Thank you very much for that indication. Now, because we have been already thanked by the Minister, I wish also to thank everyone who participated in the meeting. I also want to apologize for the hacking that happened. It was also my first experience in that thing, which was bad. But we have tried our level best to continue this meeting. Thank you ever so much. Let's adjourn the meeting for now. Thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Can I end the meeting for everyone?